I promise you that wasn't me singing in the background, by the way, just in case you were getting worried. I'm just sort of introducing the theme that we're going to be covering over the next couple of weeks. We are going to be rediscovering the Nativity. And I want to talk about this gift of hope, and we think about the gift of hope as we think of the name Jesus, and the very name itself speaks about this hope of the Nativity. I can recall very well as a child receiving one of the very early computer games. You can see a picture of it on the screen if you can make it out. I can't even remember the name of it. It was something Grandstand, Adman Grandstand, I think it was. And it was one that you played on the TV. Now, I had wanted the Atari version of it, but in those days, the Atari version was extremely expensive. But I got this one instead, and it was, I thought it was absolutely brilliant. It had two little controls, and whenever you played it, it looked a little bit like that on the screen. Have you ever, any of you ever seen a television or a computer game like that before? Have you? Yeah. Some of you had one of those before? Yeah, now you're really showing your age. But I had that one, and boys, I enjoyed it. There were six or eight different games you could play on it. All of them looked pretty much like that. But boys, we enjoyed playing with it, and we played with it for hours on Christmas Day. We woke early again to play with it on Boxing Day, and on Boxing Day, one of the controllers broke. And I still can remember going to my dad with the tears running down my cheeks and telling him that one of the little controllers had broken, and he instantly got the soldering iron out and managed to fix it, only for it to break again a couple of days after that. But sometimes Christmas can be a little bit disappointing. The gifts we receive are not necessarily what we expect, whether it is trousers that have been bought for us that are too tight, or jerseys that have been bought for us that are far too large. I never seem to experience the latter of those. And we know that as soon as we get Christmas through, the next stage is to take a wee trip back down to the store and get them replaced. But this Christmas, I want us to rediscover the Nativity story, to consider the most wonderful gift of all time, a gift that won't break or fade or that is not the right size for any of us. This gift is exactly what we need. And we need to be reminded of what this gift truly is. So turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. Because here we read about this gift of hope. There we read, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." What's in a name? Two-time heavyweight boxing champion George Foreman, by the way, he not only sells grills, but believe it or not, he also has five sons and seven daughters. All of his sons bear his name. He has George Jr. He has George the Third, George the Fourth, George the Fifth, and George the Sixth. Even one of his daughters is called Georgina. I suppose he ran out of ideas for names fairly early on. It saved him having to wade through one of those books of names. Anybody who's had children, have you ever looked through one of those books? We had a look through the book, and despite that, we called our children Rebecca and Abigail. You can go and figure that one out. But anyway, George Foreman decided to call his name George. Joseph never had the privilege or problem of choosing a name for Mary's firstborn son because technically he wasn't the father. Although he would have the responsibilities of a father, yet he was not the father of Mary's firstborn son. And he was told by the angel that they were to call his name Jesus. And you know, this name bears an eternity of hope. The very name itself brings with it this whole message of hope that we are going to be looking at this morning. And this truly is a gift of Christmas, that will not break and that won't be the wrong size. This is the gift of Christmas that we all need. So what can we learn from this name this morning? Well, first of all, it's a very simple name. Believe it or not, the name Jesus appears over 500 times in the Gospels, and whenever you then tie in the rest of the New Testament, the number rises to 900. 900 mentions of the name Jesus. And I was reading when preparing for this, somebody wisely said, or humorously said, aren't we thankful that God didn't decide to call his son Tiglath-Pileser Adonai-Bezek? There was a king in Scripture called that. Can you imagine trying to pray in that name? Or even writing it down would be a bit of a job. But books of theology have been written about Jesus. Jesus is his name. God chose a name that was special, a name that we would remember, a name that would change all of history. We have before Christ, and we have in the year of our Lord. So we discover that even time as we celebrate it today has been marked by Jesus Christ. Now, the Jewish historian Josephus refers to about 20 people around the time of Jesus who had the name Jesus. So it was a fairly regular name back in those days. Interestingly, the name Jesus in Hebrew is Joshua. And if you look back to the Old Testament, you will read about Joshua there, Joshua who led the children of Israel. Believe it or not, there are 11 men in the Old Testament called Joshua. But the Joshua for whom the book bears his name was the one who was chosen by Moses to follow on after him. And here's what the name Joshua means. It means the Lord of salvation. You see, Joshua, as we see him in the Old Testament, is the foreshadowing of Christ. He led the people out of the wilderness into the promised land. Joshua brought an earthly salvation, if you like, to the people, whereas Jesus comes to bring a heavenly salvation. He comes to bring us out of the wilderness of life here in this world to a better world, to the promised land of heaven. You see, Jesus is the Savior. And that is why this simple name is so special to us. Secondly, I want you to see that not only is it a simple name, but it's a special name. Someone has said, if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, well then God would have sent us an entertainer. But since our greatest need is forgiveness, God has sent us a Savior. Jesus' name, as I've just said, meant the Lord of salvation. And his name is the answer to the biggest problems of our world today. As it has been the answer to the problems of the world in times past, so it is still the answer for our world today. A little boy was asked in Sunday school, what is a little furry animal that climbs up in a tree and eats nuts and saves acorns? The little boy came from a Christian home, and he was accustomed to answering everything with one name. And this kind of colored his thinking on that day. So what is it that climbs up into a tree? The little boy replied, I know it sounds just like a squirrel, but the answer is probably Jesus. And you know, there are those, and they simply roll the name Jesus off their lips. But I want you this morning to remember what the Bible tells us about Jesus. Here's what we read in Ephesians 1, 20 to 21. He is far above all rulers, authorities, powers, lords, and all other names that can be named, not only in this present world, but also in the world to come. Jesus is above all other names. That's what we read about in Ephesians. Then Philippians 2, verses 9 to 11 says this, "This is why God has given him an exceptional honor, the name honored above all names, so that at the name of Jesus, everyone in heaven, on earth, and in the world below will kneel and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." You see, this is why the name Jesus is special, because it is that name and no other name that can save us from our sins. Then in John 1, verse 12, we read this, "Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God." And finally, in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given amongst men by which we must be saved." This is why the name of Jesus is utterly vital. He does what he promises to do. His name tells us all we need to know because it is the name that saves. You know, I like things that are simple. I'm not going to say anything about Hazel there because I do want my lunch. But other than Hazel, that's my way out of this one, isn't it? Other than Hazel, I like things that are simple. When I go to buy paint, I want paint that does what it says. We know the Ronseal advert, don't we? I'm not advertising Ronseal, by the way. There are other equally good paints, I'm sure. But Ronseal is the one that does what it says on the tin. Well, the thing about Jesus is that Jesus does what the Scriptures tell us. The name of Jesus saves us from our sins. It has saved me from my sins. It has changed my life. And the great news that I have to offer you today, here this Christmas season, is that Jesus' name still changes lives. Jesus' name still brings hope. Jesus' name still gives us a future. And if you do not know Jesus as your Savior yet, this is what you need this Christmas. Forget about all of the presents underneath the Christmas tree. Forget about all of the organizing for Christmas Day. This is what you need: Jesus Christ, because Jesus saves from our sins. Jesus' name has the power to save. And if you ask Jesus to forgive you today, if you trust in him for salvation, he will save you. "They that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And if you call on Jesus' name today, no matter what you have done in your past, the great news is that you shall be saved. You know, over the years, the Lord has given me the privilege of sitting there whilst folk have come to faith in Jesus Christ. And I have watched as all sorts of people have come to faith, young and old. I've seen those come to faith who are well-educated, those who have no formal education whatsoever. I've seen those who in the eyes of the world are right roaring rascals, and I've seen them come to faith, and those that everybody already thought were saved. I've seen them all. So let me tell you today that there is nothing that is so bad that you have done, and there is nobody here who has managed to live a good enough life that either Jesus can't save you or that you don't need to be saved by Jesus Christ. And the name of Jesus saves. That's why it's a very special name. But it's also a very selective name. Now, there are many would-be saviors who have tried to show us their form of forgiveness, but they all fail. We hear of government programs bringing criminal and victim together. That's good, but it can't save them. The criminal who has done something wrong simply because they admit that they've done something wrong to the person whom they've wronged, that doesn't take their sin away. They still need to come to Jesus. Banks may offer us great ways to save our money or to increase our wealth, and that may be good, but it cannot give us eternal life. It can give us something physically, but it cannot give us what we need, spiritually speaking. And gyms, good as they are, and for many, many years I had a gym membership, just like many of you have. Somebody told me that I should have actually gone to the gym, but I did have a gym membership, I promise you, and I kept it paid up for many, many years. And gyms are good. They will help us to live a fitter life. We may have abs like rocks and a six-pack like Stallone, but the gyms will not make us fit for heaven. You see, Jesus is the only name that will save. This is why Jesus' name is not just special, but it is selective. Priests and ministers and pastors cannot forgive sins. Each person must go directly to God. There is no other way that they can be saved. It is only in Jesus that we find forgiveness. Jesus came to save. The scripture reminds us, narrow is the way which leads to God. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. I'll tell you this, folks. It won't cost you anything to become a Christian. The price has already been paid for that by what Jesus did on the cross. You don't have to make yourself better by doing certain things, saying certain things, living in a particular way, and then you're worthy of salvation. No, that's not how it works. So to become a Christian will cost you nothing. But to be a Christian may cost you everything. Anyone who says to you that in becoming a Christian, your life will be a bed of roses from there on in is telling you a lie. That is not what the Bible promises us. It doesn't say to us that as soon as you become a Christian, you will have physical wealth beyond belief, that you will have no problems, no illness, no disease. The Bible does not tell us that anywhere. But what it does tell us is that to be a Christian means that we start on this narrow road. And that will be a difficult path at times. It will be hard to be a Christian, and you will suffer persecution, even sometimes from brothers and sisters. Sometimes they can say the nastiest things, and they can be the cruelest of all. It's a narrow path, but if you don't want that, that's all right. If you don't want to be in the pathway that leads to heaven, that's up to you. You just stay exactly where you are, and you are on the broad road that leads to destruction. There's many, many more who are on that pathway, and it's going to be easy to be in that pathway because you don't have to do anything else. You just stay exactly living the way that you are without Jesus at the center of your life. But I do warn you that the end of it is destruction. Jesus says he's the only way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except through him. Well, there are people in the world today, and they object to this. Really? Only one way to get saved? That's not fair. That's not right. But if you had a disease and you went along to your doctor and your doctor said to you, this is the tablet, and if you take it, you will live. There is nothing else. There is no other tablet in the market. This one will save you. Will you go away and complain that you can't take aspirin or paracetamol or something else? No. You'll take the tablets because you want to live. And Jesus says, I am the only way. There is no other means to be saved except through me. Now, that's good news. Because we don't need to search out a way of our own. We have all that we need in Jesus. Dennis Selfridge said this, "There is majesty in the name of God, personality in the name of Jehovah, power in the name Lord, unction in the name Christ, attraction in the name Emmanuel, but there is salvation in none other than Jesus." Oh, listen, folks. An Alexander the Great may build an empire. A Napoleon Bonaparte may change the nations of the world. An Isaac Newton may bring about an intellectual revolution. An Edison may create a new world for science. But there is only one who can touch and transform the human heart, and his name is Jesus. There is no other name, no other way. Jesus is the only one who can deal with the sin of the human heart. I don't know what other way to put it across to you. It is clear and it is simple in Scripture. Jesus is the only one who can save us. You see, we have built up many sins over many years. And it's not like some of our computer programs where we can write over the information that we've previously put in and it somehow covers it over. That's not the way it works with sin. We can't cover over it by doing good things. Every sin is stored up in the hard drive of our lives, and unless that hard drive is wiped clean by the blood of Jesus Christ, we have no hope. Jesus is the only one who can cleanse us. And that's why the name of Jesus is the name that brings hope. Do you have that this Christmas? Is that what you have to look forward to in the future because you know that Jesus has paid the price? In Christmas Carol, and at some stage over Christmas, I plan to watch Christmas Carol. The Disney version, by the way, is by far and away the best. I think it's Disney. The newest one anyway is by far and away the best, I think. And in it, there's a character, Jacob Marley. And Jacob Marley comes to see Ebenezer Scrooge. And he's covered with all of these chains and all manner of stuff that he has accumulated over his years. And Scrooge says, "You are fettered. Tell me why." Marley replies, "I wear the chain I forged in life. I made it link by link and year by year. I girded it on of my own free will, and I wear it. Or would you know the weight and length of the strong coil you bear yourself, Ebenezer? It was full as heavy and as long as mine 7 Christmas Eves ago. You have labored on it since. It is a ponderous chain." Let me ask you, folks, are you being choked by a ponderous chain? Are your sins going to drag you right down to the pit of hell itself? Well, the good news of Christmas is this: it doesn't have to be that way. Things can be different, but they'll only be different through the name of Jesus. Because Jesus is the only name that can save us from our sins. Jesus is the only gift that we can really depend on. He is the gift of hope. In the midst of the hopelessness of this world, He is the only one that we can depend on for sure. Let me ask you this Christmas, Have you received the gift of life through Jesus Christ? Do you know him as your Savior? Have you called upon the name of Jesus? Because there is no other name by which we must be saved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you that you sent him to come into this world to pay the price for our sins. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that it is only through Jesus that we can be saved. And therefore, today, there are many of us here, and we rejoice in the fact of our salvation. We rejoice that we are on that narrow path that leads to eternal life. We even rejoice in our persecutions and our troubles because of the name of Jesus, because it is a proof to us that we belong to Christ, that we have been saved. Lord, we pray today for any who this Christmas season as yet do not know Jesus. We ask, Lord, that you would open their eyes today. We ask that you would let them see that Jesus is the only name upon which they can call and hope to be saved. And we pray that before they leave this place this morning, that they will have given their lives over to you. Speak to us, Lord, now. As we close the pages of Scripture before we leave this place, we ask that your Holy Spirit would strive on in each of our hearts, reminding us of what this season is really about, reminding those without Christ that Jesus is their only hope. Apply your truth for your glory and honor alone. Through Jesus we pray. Amen.